This is Bob Muscatel. Always a pleasure to bring in this gentleman, and I use that term loosely. Dan Schlossberg is here. Travel Thursdays with Danny, the very popular writer of baseball books, and he's written so many. His most recent, Baseball's Memorable Misses, folks, you gotta have it. And that new baseball Bible, which is outstanding, and that's always nearby. You can find that at Amazon.com or at your local brick-and-mortar bookstore. Good morning there, Danny. How you be?
I'm doing great. Another Wednesday night win for my Braves.
You know, I was just mentioning this earlier today, Danny. That's got to be 7 or 8 Wednesday wins before we chat on a Thursday. You're welcome, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate it. That's terrific.
Man, man. You know, if I ever take a Thursday off, you're going to be very upset. I have to work every Thursday from here on in as long as the Braves are playing. All right. Well, listen, it's a great little streak going for your Braves. Obviously, the Yankees were hazed out yesterday, which is a very serious thing in the Northeast. But we're going to talk about railroads. And I know that, Danny, this is one of your favorite subjects. You love talking railroads. You're going to talk about the East Broadtop Railroad today.
That's right. It's a 150-year-old railroad, and it's the only narrow-gauge railroad operating in the United States today.
Wow. And it's named for Broadtop Mountain, right?
It's named for Broadtop Mountain, which is that plateau in Pennsylvania, halfway between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and central Pennsylvania, coal country. And that's why the line was built in the first place. And they started construction in 1872.
And the early history is rife with problems with labor strikes and floods and everything, so they had to fight through a lot.
They did, they did. But, and they were also right on the first, the main line of the Pennsylvania Railroad, so it was kind of like a meeting between the minor and major leagues in baseball.
Yeah, yeah. And it opened up as a tourist railroad, what, about 1960, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was a coal railroad and carried other things as well, industrial things. And then it kind of folded up, and it was sold to a scrap company, but the owner of the scrap company, for some reason, decided to preserve everything about the railroad, the engines, the cars, the cabooses. And that really helped because, you know, different groups came and founded it and decided to resurrect it, and it's running again. It's doing great.
Well, as a couple of fans of railroads are concerned, I think we're happy about that. And it's the only operating steam-powered narrow-gauge railroad in the U.S. I didn't know what that meant, but in your notes I see that narrow-gauge means the tracks are set 3 feet apart, right, which is a little different.
Right. They are closer together than the standard gauge. And the reason for that was so that it would have less derailments during the days when they carried coal. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, sure does. The route covers, about 4.5 miles each way?
That's correct. So 9 miles total, and a ticket costs $20, and it's really, really worthwhile, really enjoyable. In fact, I asked Jonathan Smith of the railroad, I said, where do you find your replacement parts? He said, we don't. We have to make them.
Oh, wow. Wow, in this day and age, that's kind of hard to believe, but there you go. Now, it averages about 30,000 riders per season, so if you're wondering if people have, if you folks at home are wondering if people really know this exists, indeed they do, and 30,000 riders per season is a lot in my view. The railroad is kind of frozen in time. They've got locomotives, a lot of passenger cars, and it's really a throwback, Dan.
Oh, very much so. In fact, it was considered by the Smithsonian to be one of the best-preserved examples of 19th-century American narrow-gauge railroads. So that's pretty impressive to me. And they have a vintage caboose, a passenger car, an open-air car if you want to take pictures, and, as we said, a 9-mile round trip. And it goes to have a historic roundhouse, too, and shops in the town of Orbisonia. And the road goes from Orbisonia to Colgate Grove and back.
How about that? Trolley cars are also on site. They've got 24 cars, 11 of them operating. They operate, by the way, Wednesday through Sunday and holidays, too. So people, if they want to bring families out there, they should look ahead, check out the website, right?
Right. The Rock Hill Trolley Museum is right adjacent to the East Broadtop Railroad and has a significant collection of operating streetcars and trolleys. And you know what? I think a lot of cities are putting trolley cars and streetcars back. They name them light rail these days. But in San Francisco specifically, they brought back old-time trolley cars from other cities. And if you look at Market Street, San Francisco, they have the names of the original cities in the windows of those streetcars.
That's pretty cool. Now, there's a group called the Friends of the East Broadtop. They've been pretty helpful in keeping a lot of these trains running, so it's good to have a support system, and it looks like they've got one.
That's correct, and they really need to train their engineers, firemen, and brakemen, and also people who do repairs on the parts. The whole thing is under restoration, an ongoing restoration. They do have 6 narrow-gauge locomotives, and that's amazing to have that many.
You know, Pennsylvania is also the home of Steamtown, which is the only national park with moving parts. It's an interesting way to put that, but it's true, right?
Right. That's in Scranton. I've been there a number of times. It operates steam trains and trolleys and has a fantastic museum there as well, including a trolley museum.
Excellent. And we mentioned earlier, if you want to go to the website, well, let me give it to you. It's eastbroadtop.com. Best way to find out more info and get an idea as to hours of operation, that kind of thing, right?
Yes, and another thing that you should Google, look up Railways to Yesterday. That was one of the groups that really helped the East Broadtop. And there's also an East Broadtop Railroad Preservation Association. So there are lots of groups that are keeping this thing going.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, I love when you bring us stuff that's a little off the beaten path, and the East Broadtop Railroad certainly fits that bill. Dan, always a pleasure to travel with you, my friend. You're a good travel companion. Stay safe in the meantime. Go Braves, go Yankees, and we'll chat next week, huh?
Sounds very good, Bob. I think we're going to go to Union Station in Washington, D.C.
All right. I'm looking forward to it already. Thanks, buddy. Safe travels, huh?
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dan Schlossberg, folks, joining us today on WLIS and WMRD AM and FM.